Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, we are joined, as we always are, every Wednesday at 10:30, double Seggy time, with our good buddy Tyson Alger of the I-5 Corridor. Look out, Eugene, Springfield. Tyson, thank you for stopping by, as always. How was your bye week?
You know, it was pretty good. The Timbers hanging around have kind of made it a working bye week for me. But, that was a pretty fun game at the park last week, so no complaints here.
And I was really worried for you, too, because I was at the San Diego game the end of the regular season, and I left in the 53rd minute. And I was like, this season's over. Adios. And somehow the Cardiac Kids are alive.
It was one of the more chaotic 10 minutes that I've had as a sports fan / sports writer, because it was right as basically the Timbers were equalizing is when the World Series was going into extra innings too. So that was stressful but fun.
I was busy at the barn burner of Washington State at Oregon State, which was just gripping live action football.
It's a showcase.
Yes. Let's get into this. All right. Let's start with the bye, and then we'll get into Iowa. What have you noticed, if anything? And I know it's tough because Lanning kind of keeps a lot of stuff to the vest, and you know, it's just working on everything and all facets of the game. Is there anything you noticed this week that really was addressed? Something that stood out as maybe the number one cause of concern coming into the bye?
Nothing like specific. Like they're so close to the vest when it comes to like letting you know like how kind of they're doing on a day-to-day basis. But it is kind of fascinating, just like the difference of this bye week and the momentum and kind of the overall conversation around the Ducks compared to the last one. I mean, the last time they had a bye, the Ducks were on top of the world. Dante Moore was going to win the Heisman. It was, you know, you start scheduling out for, well, we're probably going to have the bye for the playoff, and here we go. And now it's, you know, you had that Wisconsin game, which actually, like, kind of in retrospect, I'm softening on my initial stance on that game. I think, you know, the fact that you lost Dante for a half and that weather, and, you know, you held on for a win in a year where a lot of college football teams aren't doing that. I was okay with that, but, you know, coming into this Iowa game, I think everyone just is kind of focused, and I think they're also pretty aware of kind of what's coming. I mean, it's November. We had the college football playoff rankings come out last night, and it's a pretty easy carrot to dangle in front of a team's face when you have to go on the road, and this could be a game that really kind of decides your season. Because when you look at these playoff rankings, Oregon's not one of the more respected one-loss teams out there right now. So I would be very concerned about, you know, what a potential second loss would do to them. But this is a very, very good, and pretty unique Iowa team that's coming up this week. So it'll be interesting.
Tyson, you said something that kind of piqued my interest there. Do you feel like maybe there's a different mentality, or is there a different feeling around the team coming out of this bye week than what it was earlier in the season, and how things are shaping up for them now, and I don't want to say a tightness, but there's a different feel around things, knowing kind of where things sit at, as it stands today?
Yeah, like I think there's like a little more tension around things. I mean, again, you can go back to that last bye week. Oregon was an explosive offense back then, right? You know, it was just the Penn State game where we had seen, you know, them struggle a little bit, but they were able to come through and end up winning that one. But here we are 8-9 weeks into the season, and we're kind of right back to not knowing exactly what you're going to get week to week from the offense, and especially Dante Moore. I know obviously he missed the second half of that last game, but you know, we've seen him struggle with some of his consistency and reads against some of these better power four teams, especially ones with good defenses. And Iowa has a top 10 defense. They're going to be one of the toughest teams that Moore faces this year. So I think it's just, you know, I don't want to like use the term swagger, because it felt like they had quite a bit of it coming out of that Penn State game. And obviously that didn't really lead to much when going up against Indiana. But like, I feel like there's just a little bit more uncertainty when you're going into these type of games, which, you know, might actually end up being fuel for them, just in the sense of this is a young team. It's a team that hasn't, early in the season, hadn't faced a lot of adversity and hadn't had to bounce back and hadn't had to go into a practice on a Sunday or Monday after you played a bad game and have to, you know, go through and fix your mistakes. So I think the focus is there. I just think that there's also a lot of questions still about this team, considering the waters that they're swimming in.
He's Tyson Alger of the I-5 Corridor, and look how Eugene Springfield joins us every Wednesday at 10:30 for two segments. Our wonderful producer, Jeff Russ, put some of these stats together. I want to make sure he gets some credit on this. Talking about Dan Lanning coming out of the bye.
And if they're wrong, I don't want credit.
Talking about Dan Lanning coming out of the bye, and it leads to an interesting question of, Is it a learning curve, or is it an over preparation, or is it just situational? 2022, his first year, they beat UCLA coming after the bye, but it's 45-30. That UCLA team wasn't very good, in my opinion, a little overhyped. In 2023, they lose at Washington after the bye. In 2024, a win over a bad UCLA team and beat Washington after a bye. Lose to Indiana this year after a bye. Is it situational, or is there any stock you might put into Dan maybe pushing the guys too hard in a bye to get themselves back ready?
I think it's more situational. I mean, the bye kind of gives you an easy jumping off point. And, you know, I'm sure I'll have to go back and look at like what the other team schedules were leading up to when they played Oregon coming off the bye. But, you know, there have been some other instances where the opposing team has been coming off a bye as well. So there's, you know, kind of that factor of the other team having extra time to prepare as well. But I think it's situational. You know, you look at some of those games and some of those performances, they came against pretty good teams. And, you know, as we just saw in their rankings for this one, Indiana's a pretty good football team too, with that being Oregon's lone loss of the season. So I don't think there's any like risk of like over coaching or over preparing or over training for one game, especially with like the bye for this one. I think they were very conscientious about where they're at in the season and getting rest and making sure guys are healthy. So I think it's kind of more situational and a bit of a crapshoot, if you will.
All right, we'll take a quick little break. When we come back, let's dive into this Iowa game. Nasty weather, nasty uglies on the D-line and the O-line, how this game plays out. Tyson Alger's our guest. He'll stick with us one more time. We're talking Oregon-Iowa on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, we are joined here again by our good friend Tyson Alger, the I-5 Corridor Lookout, Eugene, Springfield. We're talking Oregon Ducks coming out of the bye. They'll take on Iowa this weekend in the great state of Iowa in the Midwest, where there's just the most wonderful people in America. You can catch all that action right here on your home of the Ducks, 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Tyson, let's dive into this game. I think I asked the question maybe a week ago before we got through the bye week of, is this a trap game? And boy, do I feel kind of stupid, because this feels way more than a trap game, doesn't it?
You have all the sirens going type of game, all the warning lights. I was a very good football team. They're a very weird football team too, because if you go back and look through, you know, some of their results from the last couple months, like, they've been scoring a lot of points. You know, they went 41-3 over Minnesota, 37-0 over Wisconsin. They put 38 points up against Rutgers, and then you kind of start to look through their stats and you're like, man, like, did Iowa change things up? Are they all of a sudden, you know, just throwing the football and running full tilt offense? And no, they have 5 touchdown passes this year. Their entire team has as many touchdown receptions as Kenyon Sadiq does this season. So this is an Iowa team that's still just going to kind of like pound you out on the ground. Their quarterback, Mark Gronowski, he's a tank. Like, he's 6'3", he's like 240, but he's not that great with their passing attack, but he does have 10 rushing touchdowns. It's a very advantageous defense. It's a fantastic special teams. So yeah, like, this is a pretty classic game of two good teams facing each other, and I'm glad Iowa has kind of gotten a little bit of the shine they deserve the last couple of weeks, cracking back into the top 25. They're in the AP and in the college football playoff rankings, so this is an important one for the Ducks, who don't really have a lot of signature wins on their resume, and season's getting old quick, so this is a big one for them.
Tyson, that's something kind of Harris and I were talking about before you hopped on. Indiana in the loss and Penn State in the win, this feels like it could be like a middle-of-the-road spot for a measuring stick for Oregon kind of going forward. And we kind of went down some permutations that could happen for Oregon. If Oregon runs the table, they should be fine. They should be in. But let's say they trip up either against Iowa or against USC. Where do you kind of look at the measuring stick of, and you can only play who's in front of you, but how do you start to measure this season out for Oregon if there is a trip up in kind of one of those two games that are probably the two biggest games that they've got left on the schedule?
Yeah, man, it's tough because, you know, let's say they lose one of those two games. You would think that the Iowa one would be more acceptable because it's on the road. It doesn't look like it's going to be great weather conditions. This is a tough team they're playing. But at the same time, too, if they were to win this one, which would be an amazing feather in their cap, it would be their best win to date of the season. Turns out Iowa is significantly better than Penn State. I just don't like how that, like, another home loss would look for them if they happen to lose to USC in that instance. I think that this is a tricky game this week, because this would be their best possible loss to have if they're going to have two losses, but also this is their best chance of really just saying, we can beat good teams. Like, we can compete with, like, the best in the country. And, you know, I don't think Iowa is necessarily close to the level that, like, an Ohio State or maybe Indiana is, but they're like a very strong B plus level team. And right now Oregon just has a bunch of wins over, like, C's and D's. So, yeah, they're like, this is pivotal, because everyone else that's kind of in that contention gets to play Oregon, right, over the next coming weeks. You know, Washington seems like an outlier still, but, like, they got an outside chance. They're going to want to try to knock Oregon off. USC is going to want to knock Oregon off. Like, all these teams have to jump Oregon if they want to make the playoffs. So it's going to be quite the gauntlet here for the next month.
Let's get into this game, all right? You mentioned the weather could be a little shoddy, maybe not Wisconsin weather. I was talking to the sideline reporter, Dusty Hera, here at the Fan, and he was saying that the rain shouldn't be as terrible as Wisconsin, but it should play a factor, which just leads me to the big uglies in the trenches. Is this more of a game? Do we need the offensive line for Oregon to really step up, or can you just rely on that D-line to do what it's done all season?
I think you kind of need both of them. I didn't like the way the line played at all against Wisconsin. I think you saw some just straight up missed blocks, especially from the tackles. It's kind of a feast or famine for them. You know, it was, I don't think Dante Moore had been sacked up until that Indiana game, and then he was brought down six times, and then it seems like they recouped and fixed everything, and then Moore was brought down twice in like the first two series against that Wisconsin game. So it's, they need to get some consistency there. They need to be better at just establishing themselves early in the games. I mean, take a look at like the last month of football and at Oregon's first drives of the games, and they've gone barely anywhere. I mean, I think I said this the last time I came on, but when they played Wisconsin 2 weeks ago and they had that onside kick to start the game, like you thought that this was the start of the Ducks like blowing up the score, and instead it just turned out to be just another dud drive in a game with a lot of them. So I think establishing themselves early, I think they're going to play relatively conservative considering the elements, and also just considering they don't want to turn the football over too much against Iowa. Iowa's a team that I forget, I don't have the number right in front of me, but they have an incredible record when they score 21 points or more. They have a pretty incredible record when they score first in games as well. So this is a game where you want Oregon to go on the road. You want to see that they're comfortable, and you just want to see some consistency from the start, because that's what's been the thorn in Oregon's side so far this season, is they don't get out to a good start. And I don't think they're a great team from playing, or I don't think they're great at playing from behind.
That kind of dovetails perfectly into I ask you some version of this question every time, because I think it presents it in an interesting fashion. If you're Oregon and you're trying to win the game, but how do they lose this game? Because as you said, they aren't great if they can't play exactly the way that they want to play. And the way that Iowa plays football is nobody wants to play that way. So how does Oregon avoid that?
The biggest thing is going to be taking care of the football, to be honest. This is an Iowa team that if they get a 7-point lead, if they get a 3-point lead, if they get a 10-point lead, they're going to try to sit on it for four quarters. They're going to try to milk the clock out of the game. They're going to try to limit Oregon's possessions, and they're going to try to force the Ducks into playing kind of a stressful type of football where Dante is going to have to throw the ball more, and that's going to allow them to key in on the offensive line and dial up some blitzes and force turnovers. And that's kind of the recipe for how Iowa has success, is they force turnovers, they capitalize, and if they make you punt, they can score on that too. So going back to what we just talked about, I think the biggest key for Oregon is just that offensive line and giving Dante time and allowing him to get into a rhythm. Like, we've seen how good he can be when he's comfortable and when he gets into a rhythm and he has that confidence. And it also seems like it's pretty easy in games where he doesn't have that protection for him to lose that confidence pretty quickly too. I don't know if he starts having like flashbacks to his time at UCLA when he was just under fire every play with the Bruins during those six games. But yeah, I think this is a big show me game for him, because this is probably the toughest environment that he's going to face the rest of the season until you get into the playoffs, if they make the playoffs. And he's talented enough to be an X factor for them, but he's also talented enough that if he doesn't have it, this could be a really tough game for the Ducks.
Yeah, I think Dante is a fascinating situation in this game, because I don't think you go into this game expecting the world from him, but he's got to play better than he has the last couple weeks. And that's the question I want to ask you. Do you see them coming out offensively at the beginning of this game, similar to kind of how they did at Indiana, a little conservative, kind of feeling each other out? Or do you want to see Stein and Lanning and Dante maybe take a shot early on and see if they can break them early?
I wouldn't mind seeing them take a shot early on just to see if that, like, that's in play. You know, ultimately, like, Oregon does have more talent across the field than Iowa does, and sometimes talent can just simply win out. And so, yeah, it would be great if they came out first drive and were able to connect with, like, a Sadiq or a DeCorian Moore for an explosive play there. But I also just think, like, continuing to feed Jordan Davidson the ball is going to be huge in this game. You know, we talked about the offensive line. They've been pretty good in run protection and run blocking. And I loved the fact that they gave Davidson like 16 carries last game. He got 100 yards again. Like he's just kind of like built to be a Big Ten running back with his size and his vision and his speed for how big he is too. So I loved that in the second half of that Wisconsin game. They were just like, okay, like we're pretty good at this. Like, let's keep doing this. I wouldn't mind seeing that carry over a little bit into this game.
He's Tyson Alger, the I-5 Corridor Lookout, Eugene Springfield. What you got on the docket this week? Bump the brand.
Well, we had a little men's basketball game last night. Which
sure
was,
did. A little tricky just, in the end.
Yeah, you know, just your quintessential 21 turnover, 1 point win over Hawaii, where you had, I think, 5 malfunctions of the clock to start the game, and then essentially a buzzer beater at the end. You know, it was so we're going to be diving a little bit into what we learned from Dana Altman's Ducks in game one. And then got a little Timbers coming up on Sunday. So that will be on the Corridor. The basketball will be over at Lookout. And, of course, I'll be with you guys next Wednesday. So
yeah, baby. Timbers got a chance this week. I mean, I guess it's a do-or-die game, right?
I mean, look, a couple weeks ago, you guys were the ones who were like Felipe Mora, and then Felipe Mora comes out and scores his first 2 goals. And
thank you.
God knows how long.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
At this point, like, who knows? I mean, like, basically the last game and, like, for part of the first game against San Diego before Ford got kicked out, like, the Timbers were playing them pretty darn close. So you guys know that I'm a lifelong soccer fan. I know the trends. I know the momentum of these series. And, I think it's a 50-50 game, and there's a chance that they make it to the knockout round. So
he is Tyson Alger of the I-5 Corridor, and Lookout, Eugene Springfield. We'll catch you again next week. Enjoy the big games, plural, this weekend, Tyson. We'll catch you next week.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
That is Tyson Alger of the I-5 Corridor. Lookout, Eugene Springfield joins us every single Wednesday.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.